Hebrews 13, verse number 8. The Bible says, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, and today, and forever. Tonight I want to preach on the subject, the sameness of God. The Bible uses the word same. Same yesterday, today, and forever. The sameness of God. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, this evening, we come to you in prayer. We thank you for the good day you've given us. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the unity of the Spirit and the bond that we sense. And Lord, thank you for the kindred spirit that we sense here in this building. And we give the glory and the praise to our Savior tonight. We thank you for the workings of the Holy Spirit. Now, Father, I pray your blessings now upon the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. When we think this evening of the subject of the sameness of God, there's a theological word that theologians like to use, and I'm sure tonight that everyone in this building are familiar with the word immutability. Immutability. That's the word that comes to mind, and that's the thought of Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 8, the immutability of God. Simply meaning that God is changeless. God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Perhaps I could put it like this. All that God is, He's always been. And all that God has always been, He is and will always be. He's an unchanging God. We understand this evening that this world is a world where people soon forget. People undergo changes constantly. Attitudes change, and opinions change, and we live in a world of change. Oftentimes, even we at our best, we still are subject to change. Do you know that change has the implication of imperfection? When we think of change, we, for example, maybe I could illustrate it like this. Some things may get better. Some things may get worse. In other words, change has the implication, as a general rule, of imperfection. To say that God is immutable would automatically be saying that God has to be sinless, because God never changes. He doesn't have to get any better because He's the best already. He's God. He'll never get any worse. He is the same. And when we think of God tonight, obviously we think of the entire Trinity. The Father, Son, Holy Spirit. All three members of the Godhead bodily. They are equally God. They are equally changeless. We, for example, tonight could think of our Savior Himself. When we think of Jesus Christ, we know that He's changeless. I think of John chapter 1, verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Interestingly enough, we see in that verse great truths about the unchanging nature of even the Son of God Himself. In the beginning was the Word. That means that Christ is co-eternal. Because He was in the beginning. Jesus was in the beginning. He is co-eternal. In the beginning, co-eternal. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. That's coexisting. Coexisting. Christ was there alongside of the Father, alongside of the Holy Spirit. In fact, if you read Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1, let us make man. There's plurality involved. Now, also too, in the beginning, God. The word God is the word Elohim, which is plural. In the beginning, God. That's plural. Word God is plural, which gives the implication of the entire Trinity. In the beginning, the Trinity was there. But now come back to John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. Jesus Christ is co-eternal. The Word was with God. Jesus Christ was coexisting. And the Word was God. Jesus Christ is co-equal. Co-equal. Now back in our Hebrews text here, which we're looking at tonight. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. God never changes. He never changes in moods. He never cools off in terms of His affection or loses enthusiasm. His attitude towards sin is the same as it's always been. It's just the same as it was even when God originally drove man out of the eastward garden when man sinned. God is the same, the sameness of God. That's a blessing when you stop and think about it. You see, God Almighty has always been what He is now, and He will never change. He is by His very nature unchangeable. This means He's as powerful as ever. This means He's as loving as ever. This means He's as merciful as ever. This means He's as full of grace and as holy as ever. This means He's as much in control as He's ever been. He's still God. He will always be God. He's absolutely unchangeable. This is one of the essential doctrines of Christianity that you and I tonight can be thrilled about. The fact that God is unchanging. Why is His immutability so important? The question comes up. Why is it, when we talk about the immutability of God, why is it so important that God be immutable? That God be changeless? Because again, like I said earlier, if God could change, then that would imply imperfection. But God is absolutely perfect already. He cannot change. He cannot become any better. He is totally, fully God, just as much as He's ever been and as much as He will ever be. There's many, many passages of Scripture that convey the truth that God is changeless. The fact of the immutability of God was a fact designed, by the way, and always look at Scripture in its context. What was an issue? Well, in the book of Hebrews, there was an issue. You know what the issue was? The issue was this. Many of those Jewish believers had second thoughts about the doctrine of pure grace. Many of them were being tempted to look back, to dabble again in the Old Testament system. Some of them were still drawn towards Jewish altars. Some of them were having trouble seeing, recognizing the fact that by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And they were still drawn. And of course, at the same time, when all of that was going on in their thinking, because keep this in mind, the transition was occurring, leaving law, becoming grace. Christ had come, Jesus had died, but yet the first century Christians, some of them still struggled, and especially we see that in the book of Hebrews. There was a problem on the part of some. They'd cooled down. Some of them were not growing. Some of them were not maturing. Some of them had their eyes on the Jewish system, and some of them were being threatened by persecution, so therefore they were just not gaining a whole lot of ground. That's the very reason why the Hebrews writer, who I think was Paul, told them to go on into perfection, go on into maturity. And there are five warnings that are given in the book of Hebrews that are addressed to Jewish believers. Five warnings. So why is the immutability of God so important? How does it fit into the context? Well, the Hebrews writer would remind them of the fact, since God isn't changing, then the same grace that was supplied to their predecessors, those that they looked up to, is the same grace that now would be available to them. In other words, what God had done in the past, they could expect Him to fulfill or to carry through with that even now. In other words, if the Jewish believers, any of them, could hold up any one of their heroes and say that person was a great saint, then they could understand that every one of them in that first century could still reach maturity, could still grow, because God wasn't changing. The immutability of God. was an encouragement to them to be taught that truth, because they could know that God was still faithful, God was still powerful, God was still in control, and everything was taken care of. And that's the point that he's making. Their perseverance was enhanced by the Lord's immutability. As they faced persecution, they needed to know that the same God that sustained the saints in the past would sustain them. Also, they needed to remember the counsel and the instruction of those that had gone before. Look at verse 7. Always remember now, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. Always see it in context. Look at verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation or conduct or manner of life. He said, whose faith duplicate their faith. Then why would he turn around in verse 8 and say Jesus Christ is the same? Well, notice the connection. Since God is changeless, since they're being told to remember those that had to rule over them and set the example, and then he tells them to follow their example of faith, then he turns around and says God is the same, well, you get the picture. In other words, he's saying God is immutable, God is changeless, and the very example and the lifestyle that you can duplicate that was lived by the lives of those that you respect, you can have that same testimony now, you can have that same victory now, you can have that same success in your Christian life now, because God hasn't changed. And I want to say tonight to all of us, due to the fact that God hasn't changed, we can have the same victory tonight that we've ever had. Amen. The reason why the Colfax camp meeting has fallen off, one reason, is a problem is on man's end of it, not God's. We could still, in this day and time, see revival. We could still, in this day and time, see people being saved. We could still, in this day and time, see church revival. We can see church growth. We can see things happening because God has not changed. And that's a great success story that challenges us tonight. It's time that you and I quit making excuses and quit thinking and trying to rationalize and say, well, it's just the times we're living. It's just the days that we're living. We're getting closer to the rapture, you know. And the Bible talks about things getting tougher as we get closer to the rapture. Well, I understand that, but also understand something else. I understand that as long as the Holy Spirit's on this earth, as long as the church is here, and as long as the gospel is being preached, and as long as God is still the same God, then I'm still convinced myself we still can see revival. We still can have victory. We still can go forward. We do not have to be intimidated. We do not have to be... We don't have to be paralyzed by excuses such as these are the last days. The Church of Jesus Christ today can do all that it's ever done by God's grace, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The immutability of God tonight is the ticket for victory. In the church. He is the same. Just a few more comments this evening. As he has sustained in the past, as he has blessed in the past, as he has worked in the past, he'll do it now. Let me give you some good verses. At least you may want to jot these down. I'm just going to read them. Always pace. A pen and pencil when you come to church. I'd encourage people to write things down, because after all, this is good stuff. It's right out of the scriptures. Don't write anything down I say, but if it comes out of the Bible, kind of sit up a little bit there. Write it down. It'll help you. Psalm 90 verse 2. Behold, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. What a great verse. Psalm 92, Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. But again, I am the Lord, I change not. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Revelation 1:8. I am Alpha and Omega, which is the first and last letter of the Greek alphabet. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Number one, He's unchanging in His power. He's unchanging in His power. Matthew 28:18, you know the verse. All power is given unto me. I'm just pulling one part of that verse out. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Simply stated, that means tonight that Jesus is the all-powerful Lord. All-powerful Lord. The power has been given unto Him, the verse says. In other words, it is God's will that Jesus possess all power in heaven and earth, and nothing can change that fact. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. When I think of the power of Christ, I think of three types of power. I think of His creative power. I think of His redemptive power. And I think of His protective power. His creative power. Did you realize that Jesus is the agent of creation? Book of Colossians. He is before all things. By Him all things consist. He is literally the creator. We could argue tonight, we could say, well, yes, in the beginning God created. He's God, isn't He? But yet we come to John, we see Him as the agent of creation. So we notice His creative power. The creative power. By Him all things consist. That Colossians passage. Let me give you a little nugget there. The word consist is a word that conveys or implies cohesiveness. By Him all things consist or are cohesively held together. He is a cohesive force. His power, not only His creative power, not only did God create, but God holds together this universe. That's the very reason tonight why stars and planets remain in orbit. That's the very reason tonight why asteroids do not plow into this earth. That's the very reason tonight why there's uniformity in this earth. The earth spins. We go through the course of a year's cycle, the revolving of the earth around the sun, then the rotation of the earth constituting our day or night. You see, God, the Creator, Christ Himself, not only created, but He holds things together. If He would take His hand off of the atoms, there would be a massive explosion and the whole universe could be destroyed if God would split one atom. But He holds it all together. Now let me make some application with this tonight. He is before all things. By Him all things consist. By Him all things are held together. That applies in many ways. He can hold marriages together if couples will let Him. He can hold churches together if churches will let Him. Amen. And respect Him. He can hold lives together if we'll let Him. Right. He is a cohesive force. He is not only the creator, but He is a sustainer. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Don't let anyone tell you that this world and its system and its powers will ever overthrow God. That'll never happen. Here's the thing. You hear of environmentalists out there who are worried about the environment, who are worried about the ozone layers, who are worried about pollution, and they're on this bandwagon. The problem with most of their thinking is it's humanistic thinking. It's humanistic. It's not factoring God into the whole picture. The same God who created this earth will take care of it. Whether we're talking about the ozone layer or whatever we're talking about, it is amazing. It is amazing. But God is still taking care of it. He's still in control. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has His hand upon this earth. He holds the world in His hand. He has the whole world in His hands, as the song children sing. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same in His power, His creative power. He's the same tonight in His redemptive power. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the same. The cross work of Christ is still good. What Jesus did on Calvary is still effective. He is the same. His redemptive power is the same. He still saves sinners the same way He saved them under Billy Sunday. He still saves sinners the same way He saved them under Charles Spurgeon. He still is the same. His redemptive power is still the same. There are many religions in this world, but there's one way of redemption. And that is the same. Yes. He's the same in His power, His creative power, His redemptive power, and His protective power. He's still the Good Shepherd. We can say tonight, the Lord is my shepherd. Not was, the Lord is my shepherd. His protective power. He takes care of us now. He supplies our needs now. He leads us beside the still waters now. He does all these things now. His protective power, He protects His own. The angel of the Lord campeth around about them to fear Him, doesn't it? So, time, the watch there tells me to come to a halt here soon. And I'm planning on doing that. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever in His power. And then finally, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever in His promises. What He promised yesterday, He will perform today. The Bible says, being fully persuaded that what He had promised, He was able also to perform. Romans 4:21. He has promised to save, and He'll do it. He's promised to supply us, and He'll do it. My God shall supply all you need. He's promised to satisfy us, and He'll do it. For He satisfieth the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with gladness. Psalm 107:9. He's promised to secure us, and He'll do it. He's the same. Same in His power, same in His promise, and oh, He's really the same in His personality. His love is the same. His grace is the same. His mercy is the same. He doesn't have attitude changes and shifts like we preached about this morning. He is the same. My friend, we can hang a lot of pegs on that catch, can't we? I'm glad tonight that God is the same. He hasn't changed. God doesn't change like you do, like I do. And oh, thank God for that. He's the same. And that gives us security, doesn't it? What a precious truth. Hebrews 13:8. Don't forget that verse. Let it be an encouragement. Let's pray. Father, tonight we give